Three agenda items. The first is a presentation of the debt management guidelines, and then we'd like to show you what the audit cycle will be for the next cycle, and then we, material findings from the '09 audit cycle, and then the two-year audit plan that we're going to go through. Okay, so we'll start with the debt management.
This morning, we got Bill O'Connell to have a presentation on debt management guidelines. These debt management guidelines were developed at the urging of the chair and some of our
Director
Morris. They're very, very useful in providing a formal framework for how we approach these issues and get that.
And we do have a
You should have received a summary of the debt management guidelines that will facilitate the discussion of the audit committee has been provided with the set of debt management guidelines for your review. The purpose of these debt management guidelines is to document a framework for our debt issuance and to also document our commitment to sound financial practices. Prior to this, we have had interest rate risk management guidelines, which are one part of debt management, and we've also listed other debt management practices in our annual budget document. This document is the result of a review of all of these practices and a desire to bring them together into one cohesive document, one cohesive set of guidelines. It revises and expands them where it was deemed necessary. So starting with the first page of the summary, the purpose is to provide the framework and document our commitment. It's important to note that these guidelines are subject to the Toll Highway Act, the Master Indenture, the Board Policies, and Procurement Code. On the following page, we list each of the 16 guidelines in summary form. You'll see that the uses of debt are limited to capital expenditures and refinancing purposes. Board approval is required in all cases for the issuance of debt. It is the tollway's obligation to manage the debt process. We cannot unload that to a third party, although we do require that we engage the assistance of financial advisors where deemed necessary. The bond sale prices can be whatever we determine to produce the lowest cost of capital for the tollway. Historically, we have always utilized a negotiated sale for the sale of our debt. We may look to issue some debt on a competitive sealed bid basis sometime in the near future as well. Our engagement of financial firms to assist us, whether they be financial advisors or underwriters, must be by a competitive selection process. And those firms cannot be eligible to serve as both financial advisor and underwriter per a board policy that was adopted 2 months ago. Assignment of firms is to be per criteria in the RFPs that are the basis for the competitive selection. Councils that are used for debt service, for debt issuance, are also the results of a competitive process and are named per the direction of the Attorney General's office. The guidelines also express our commitment to participation of MBE firms. They guide us to align our debt average life with the assets being financed or shorter. That guideline is also subject to a restriction of our debt issuance of 25 years. Most of the assets, or many of the assets we financed, have average economic lives of 30 years and beyond. The targeted senior lien debt service coverage is 2 times, that we're striving for near 2 times with our debt service coverage. We also commit to providing a long-term cash flow projection from the finance department to the board at least once annually. We are striving to maintain our ratings and to update the rating agencies at least once annually. We commit to complying with federal continuing disclosure requirements as well as federal arbitrage rebate regulations. We allow ourselves the ability to defease debt by open market purchases, and we also commit to complying with the interest rate risk management guidelines, which are summarized on the final page. The interest rate risk management guidelines have been tightened up some. A review of these has in part been prompted by our recent experience with the synthetic fixed rate bonds. Board approval is required of any interest rate risk management agreement, often referred to as hedge agreements or swap agreements. Their allowable purposes are to manage risk or to achieve an efficient access to capital, a lower cost of capital. We commit to assessing the risk for these agreements whenever considering entering into them. The key risks involved are the interest rate risk, the counterparty risk, that would be the swap counterparty, the reliance on liquidity, and the financial institution providing such liquidity, and the risk of the termination of the swap agreement, the cost of the termination. We commit that the term of any risk management agreement cannot exceed the underlying term of the debt. We require an assessment of liquidity facilities, the cost. We commit to looking at the ratings of the liquidity providers. We commit to diversification among liquidity providers and to focus on the term of the liquidity agreements. And last but not least, the maximum variable interest rate exposure. We are looking to establish a guideline of 25% of our total allowable variable rate debt exposure, total debt. 25% of total debt can be variable rate, whether it's hedged or unhedged. And as far as unhedged variable rate, it can be an amount not to exceed 15% of the total debt. I know that's a lot, but are there any questions about any of those?
Madam Chair, I'm not on the audit committee, but I think this is a really good foundation for us to have. And what I would suggest is obviously approval of this, and then just have the audit committee annually pick a month, review it, because I think it provides some guidance so that if someone on the outside wanted to know how we got to where we are, why we're there, we have a roadmap to do that. And I think this is, you know, any good organization should have this in place, but there should be a provision here that's annually reviewed, just so the board is always kept informed on significant changes.
We appreciate your help in putting this together, and Bill and Mike, so we welcome you if you'd like to join the audit committee.
Any other?
Any other questions?
No, I think the guidelines are well thought out, and I think we heard some of it referred to this morning in the action we took after Mike Kelsch's presentation. So yeah, I think it's a good thing. Now, for guidelines, and you're recommending an annual approval, would this be brought before the full board for adoption, or is this simply
what we were seeking is an approval of the audit committee?
Right, and at the annual review, should just be done at the audit committee level, but it's at least that it doesn't just sit in a corner and gather dust. So.
Agreed.
And then why don't we plan to have the audit committee just report to the full board every year after that that the review has been done, and if there are any changes, somebody needs to remind us to do that.
So I would move acceptance and approval.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, thank you all very much. Now, we wanted to talk about the findings from the 2009 cycle, and Jim Wagner got trial by fire in first 2 weeks on the job. And as I say, we went through all of the audits that were presented at this earlier audit meeting, so this is the highlight.
Right. We went into, I think, very, very explicit detail with the audit committee before, but we just wanted to summarize today what the material covered. The control and compliance cycle audit for 09 went through the four different agencies or departments here at the tollway: expenditure control, purchasing, contracting, agency organization and management, personnel and payroll. There was a fairly detailed discussion during our meeting with regard to findings and immaterial findings, so we thought we would put this up with some further explanation for you. I think most of you know a finding by an audit can include a lot of different occurrences, including fraud, irregularities, illegal acts, statutory noncompliance, etc., and also any issues that would impact a financial statement or a repeat immaterial finding where no corrective action was taken by that particular department. This is a very general summary of the types of categories that you would list on an audit report as a finding. An immaterial finding would be a determination by the audit committee and the audit team that there was an opportunity for a improvement in the performance of the department and some way to enhance the control of the procedure that was under examination. If you have a repeat immaterial finding, it can rise to more serious issues if the corrective action were not taken, but even if it's partially implemented, we would give credit for a improvement in their conduct. And especially if there's been a different observation in the same particular department. The point we were trying to make earlier with the audit committee to keep in mind is that this is a subjective decision on the part of the audit team, and there is a professional standard that auditors always strive to achieve, but it also depends upon the cooperation of the department in many instances and the summary judgment of the people who are functioning in that audit team, in that particular audit. These are all discussed by the team members before a final decision is made, and an agreement in all instances is made with the management team for the management response. We wanted to point out the findings of this particular audit compared to the prior audits of last cycle. And as you can see, material audits dropped to 1 compared to 10 in the previous audit. That 1 dealt with the vendor master file maintenance. And the concern here is that it was a repeat finding, and it dealt with a review of vendors and their FEIN number having fewer than the required digits in some instances, more than one listing of a vendor in the database, the same name but different FEIN numbers, and with the same number but different names. So these were significant enough to be listed as a material finding. The managers of that department have explained this sufficiently, in as much as there has been a change in the computerization and processing of those numbers, and in many instances the corrective action had begun and was in process and is being completed. And I think all involved are convinced that this should not come up as a finding in the future. The problem has been rectified. going to all of the prior audits with immaterial findings, we have dropped from 30 to 22, which is good to find. What we're seeing is a general trend of compliance with the resolution of the findings in the past, but obviously there are things that still need to be resolved and are being worked on. Are there any questions on those materials?
I would just make, I think, two comments. First of all, thank you very much. This is a great, a lot of hard work went into this, but it summarized it in two slides. One of the immaterial, one of the findings from an 08 audit was not repeated in 09. It became a subject of some discussion, and I just wanted to let everybody know, because it had been aired publicly, that we did have a group of us from the tollway talk about this, and we've been assured that this possibility of conflict of interest has been cleared up. We don't have that problem anymore, and all you're comfortable with where we are.
Yes. They didn't appear in the 2009 audit. We took them very seriously, and we made some adjustments to our policies and procedures to address that.
And then the other was just a set of things in hiring and personnel that were of some concern. They didn't reach a material level, but Joe has been put in, the director of the department that's going to be working on that. He's already on top of some of them, and there are more that he's going to work through, but those were of some concern to me particularly, and he's on top of that, and they were not material, but we want to make sure the compliance unit is just following those to make sure that we're reducing risk in that area. Okay, thanks.
And I would just add and second to what was just said about the 08 audit, we're always going back to review the materials that had been previously determined to be either a material finding or an immaterial finding. And the audit team this year, in producing the review of the department, was satisfied that that problem had been corrected and it was not a finding this cycle. I think we have another audit plans survey to go through with you very quickly. We are required to produce an audit plan for a two-year period of time. It has been reviewed and signed off by Mr. King, and that is a requirement at the end of last year. This was put together by the audit team and Joe Fivelson's direction and was signed off on. This is a requirement of the Fiscal Control Internal Auditing Act, the State Internal Audit Board. The audit team meets with the management staff to determine the best way to progress about the instances of findings, and then puts together the ideas for the next 2 years. The activity would include cycle audits, other internal audits based on any risk assessment or requested audits by management, vendor audits when personnel might be available for that, and then system pre-implementation is required when a new computer system of any type is going online as to whether that's going to be properly handled. As I said before, the two-year audit is required to be approved by the executive director, which it has been. We will do the cycle audits in this cycle in this way. Administrative support services is scheduled for 2010. Budgeting, accounting, and reporting, property, equipment, and inventory, revenues and receivables, electronic data processing, and then on the bottom, petty cash, if the disbursements exceed $5,000. For the past 3 years, that has not happened, so we will have to wait and see. I personally think this is a very big challenge to be able to get this work done with the staff that we have. So they're going to be working as hard, if not harder, than they have been. These are the items that are required. the pre-implementation, as I mentioned, the special audits of operations, the certification letter. We have a quality assurance review that is conducted every 5 years, internal quality assurance review, especially if the internal audit standards change or there's a significant change in the personnel. And then we have continuing education. All of this results in a need for hours of the personnel shown here as far as the breakdown and the percentage allotted to each category. The available hours, total available hours, would include two currently vacant positions. However, the positions will be filled. We have authority to go ahead and post for those this quarter, and we're going to follow through on that to try to fill those gaps. If we're looking at this realistically and don't fill those positions, we can't accomplish all of the work that's being contemplated.
Just so I understand, that 600 for investigations, if something were to come up during the year that isn't included in the audit plan, that the directors or somebody wanted to have investigated, that's where that would fit?
Yes, all of these are a work in progress. The numbers are not set in stone. This is a goal for the coming year. But if a particular investigation is needed and required and essential, it obviously will be handled out of the available time, or other time will have to be taken from other categories to service that need. So keep in mind that this is the goal. This isn't the end result at all yet. But, to repeat, we need to get those other two people on board. And this just gives you the same information in a pie shape, makes it easy to see as far as the available hours and how we're going to utilize those hours that we've contemplated. Again, this repeats the idea of having the flexibility to utilize hours and move them from one category to another when needed. So this is the statutorily required segment of information that we have to provide and we have to cover. And if there are questions in that those categories, I'd be glad to cover. We do have a 2011 audit plan as well, and I will confess it almost totally mirrors 2010 with regard to the hours. Again, the breakdown is very similar. And the pie chart again. The breakdown between hours available and utilized.
Which, of course, that'll be informed by the experience over 2010.
Right. Could change drastically depending upon what is found in this coming year. So I know I went through that very quickly, but I think that the information is there. Are there any questions anyone would like to ask on either of the charts?
Is this what would have traditionally been sort of an internal audit function, or is this?
Exactly. This is the internal audit's function.
And who exactly does your group report to then?
They report to me, the internal auditors that are work. And I report to Mr. King and to Ms. Wolf.
Okay.
And they
normally the internal audit would report directly to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And regular reports in Jim's job description says they're regular reports to the board.
Right.
Including report cards.
Right.
And I think, I know, everybody got copies of all of the reports that the team did for last year. We didn't go through them today, but if you have any questions on any of the immaterial findings or anything else in there, please don't hesitate to talk to Jim or his troop about that.
Probably just one comment, if I may, on the matrix that was put together. I mean, it was very exhaustive, very detailed, and very helpful in terms of being able to look at the broadest view of the issue that was brought forth, and also understand the impacts that those issues have. You know, so when you look at an immaterial versus a material, you can understand why, but it's also important that we look at everything so that you know, we can make those adjustments and make sure that the subsequent audits reflect enhanced adherence to procedures or policies or whatever the situation might be. So I thought the matrix that was put together by the audit team was extremely helpful in digesting the information.
Thank you. I think we can hold it up. It's the 8.5 by 11.
Looks like this.
Yeah, there we go.
They made a movie about that matrix.
They did.
And I would just like to pass that on to the team and Ariana and all of the others who worked on that matrix to put it together and thank them for their excellent work. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. May I hear a motion then to adjourn from the audit committee?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
And we'll go back into the full board meeting. May I hear a motion to bring the full board meeting back together?
So moved. Second.
May I hear a motion within the full board meeting to go into executive session?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So we will go into executive session, but we can take a quick break first.